WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Something, something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close, closer to the prize at the end of the rope. All night long, I dream of the day when it comes around and it's taken away. Leaves me with the feeling that I feel the most. Feel it come to life when I see your ghost.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Did you say purple rectangular button below the screen?
I said little purple button below the screen.
Oh, you said little purple. I was distracted. That's why I asked. There was pyro going off in the background. Not the pyro we could do in chat. There was actual pyro going off.
Oh, are you guys starting the holiday early?
They started it last night.
Dude, one of the neighborhoods was shooting off fireworks in the middle of a thunderstorm on Monday, and I was like, what the hell, guys? What the actual hell?
But there was pyro going off in the
background.
Hopefully it's fireworks, but there's pyro going off in the background. As you're doing your intro, it's like, hey, we got live pyro. We have all expenses here on the rack. At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WGLive. Come interact with us live. We got stuff to talk about tonight.
We do. We have news. We have notes. We have Night of Champions to discuss here on the show. So I say we don't waste any time and we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And that is, we are going to start with WWE Survivor Series. Now, officially Survivor Series War Games will go on sale July 17th. Or, excuse me, 11th.
Yes, officially they put the War Games logo on the thing. So it's officially Survivor Series War Games. Tickets on sale next week. So go get your tickets to see it at Petco Park. I think it's still called Petco Park.
Right. Where is Petco Park?
San Diego. It's where the Padres play. I think it's still Petco.
Oh.
Let's go find out.
I have no idea, honestly.
Petco Park. It is still Petco Park.
Oh, thank God. I hate when they do that to you, by the way. Like, I understand they build a new stadium and they change the name, but what I really hate is when they keep the stadium and they just change the name of the stadium and it's like, no, you don't understand. It's been named this my entire life. I'm not calling it something different. Mm-hmm. So,
they've done that here with the where the Sixers and Flyers play. The center, it's been the Wachovia Center, it's been the First Union Center, it's been the Wachovia Center, the Core State Center. All the banks have had it. Now it's going to be now it's the Xfinity Arena or something.
Yeah, I was going to say they're naming it after Comcast, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because, God, I had, this is going to date me, I had my very first bank account with First Union. And then I remember when it became Wachovia. And then it became Wells Fargo. That's how old I am.
The banks change hands. The licensing agreements change hands.
They buy each other out.
They do.
Like, that's crazy. Like, it's just crazy. Like, I remember being a teenager and it was like, my dad took me to go get a First Union account because that's where he banked. So he was like, you're getting it there. And I'm like, okay, I don't know anything. So I'll just listen to you. But anyway, we are not here to talk about banks. We are here to talk about wrestling. So WWE Unreal has announced the episode list.
Yes.
It's going to be 5 episodes, and we are going to start with the WWE Raw premiere on Netflix at the Intuit Dome, and it's going to focus around, I believe, the main event between CM Punk and Seth Rollins, and it's going to have the spotlight on Punk and Cody Rhodes and Rhea Ripley for that episode. Then we're going to move to the Men's Royal Rumble match and the feud between Cody and Kevin from Saturday night's main event and their ladder match at the Rumble. There was also going to be a spotlight on Jey Uso and his Rumble win. And then episode 3 will be around the ladies, including Chelsea Green winning the U.S. title, Charlotte Flair returning from her injury, the Women's Royal Rumble, the Elimination Chamber matches, and a portion dedicated to Bianca Belair. Both episodes focusing on the Royal Rumble matches include a visual feature following a wrestler throughout the match in a continuous sequence and are said to be visually compelling. I like how they have to add that.
Yes.
It's going to be visually compelling. They have to add that. Episode 4 covers John Cena's heel turn at Elimination Chamber in March and the lengths that they went to keep it a secret, as well as focusing on the Men's Elimination Chamber match and New Day's heel turn. We are told this is the only episode where Nick Khan will speak. That's right, we get a rare appearance from a Nick Khan, as well as appearances by Dwayne Johnson, which we were speculating whether he would show up or not, and Brian Giewertz for the portion covering Cena's heel turn.
So before you continue, Dwayne and his team had to approve the episode stuff that he's involved in this episode. Just
of course, point out,
anything he's involved in, his team had to approve.
I mean, I can't be mad at that because, like, it's an image thing for him. And yes, one, like, he's already had way too much. I would say if he didn't have, like, the Hawaii property thing still lingering in the background and some of the other stuff going on that were sort of painted him in a negative light, then maybe they wouldn't be so uptight about it. I don't know, but because he's had a lot of negative press recently, I can understand why they would want to approve that, because they don't want him coming off like a complete douche. So
yeah,
it kind of makes sense. Brian Giewert surprises me, though. I didn't think he worked for them.
He works for Dwayne. He's Dwayne's guy.
Well, I knew he worked for Dwayne, but I thought he was gone from WWE. Did they bring him back?
No, he's Dwayne's writer.
Oh, he just works for Dwayne.
He works for Dwayne, and whatever Dwayne's doing, he...
Okay.
Because he's part of 7 Bucks Productions. He's the head guy there. He's whatever Dwayne does.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so whenever Rock talks, Brian's the one who's doing his stuff. Whatever he's involved in, Brian's involved in. So that's why Brian always comes out on Twitter defending all the stuff that happens.
Okay, number one, Brian, I would like to congratulate you on securing the bag. Well done. Good for you. I'm proud of you. We love that for you. Number two, I'm sorry. I didn't know. My apologies.
Yeah, he's Dwayne's guy for everything. He's the top guy at 7 Bucks. He's the guy.
You know what? Like I said, way to go, Brian, on securing the bag. That's all I'm going to say on that. You know, I cannot judge. You make your money, sir. You do your thing. Not going to judge at all. And last but not least for episode 5, this is the WrestleMania 41 episode that spotlights the match between Gunther and Jay, Punk and Rollins and Reigns, Io Sky and Rhea Ripley and Bianca, and Cody and Cena. The 5th episode will include a scene of Paul Levesque being handed notes for the next night's episode of Raw to emphasize the ongoing nature of WWE's creative process. Who wrote this?
This is not a press release. This is someone with exclusive details.
It's just... Okay, I'm sorry. That whole last line is just so ungodly soap opera to me. I'm not making fun of them, by the way. I'm just critiquing the fact that, like, the line reads, the 5th episode includes a scene of Levesque being handed notes for the next night's episode of Raw to emphasize the ongoing nature of WWE's creative process. Like, that is the most soap opera thing in this whole write-up.
Aside from
the visually compelling...
What's funny is they put that piece of footage out on Twitter, like that day of WrestleMania, the night of WrestleMania, or whatever, or the next day, whatever, they put it out there. Anyway, so those are the details. The structure show is basically going to be footage of writers' meetings in NHQ and in Gorilla, but a large amount is going to be like dedicated to wrestlers' profiles and matches, so it's going to be a mix of everything.
I expect this to be about 50-50.
Yeah,
maybe 75-25.
75% on wrestlers and matches, 25% of backstage.
No, I was more talking about 75-25, like real and like scripted.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Like, just based on the write-ups, I kind of get the feeling this is going to be Total Divas, but maybe not as, and I say this with love because I love the show, trashy, you know? Like, yeah. It's not just trashy reality TV. This is like... supposed to be meant like serious, you know, reality TV, even though on many levels any reality TV is really trashy. But that's what this kind of feels like to me, is that it's going to be like real, and I use that term very loosely, real situations in quotations that have been dramatized for the sake of the audience.
We shall see.
But if they want to throw any like Total Divas stuff in there where somebody steals somebody else's boyfriend or anything like that, I would be totally down.
That's not gonna happen on this show.
I know. Hey, you know what? Summer Rae showed up on SmackDown tonight. Anything is possible.
On what?
Wasn't Summer, or no, where did Summer Rae show up? She showed up somewhere.
Was it Impact?
Maybe? I saw a picture of her on Twitter, and she was a redhead.
I think you just saw pictures of Summer Rae.
This is why I shouldn't go on Twitter after dinner. Yeah, hold on. I want to find it because now it's going to bother me.
I don't think whatever thing she saw exists at chat.
It exists. It was on Twitter, so therefore it is at least real in existence, but maybe not real in reality.
Yes, Matt. Yes.
Yes, Matt. Yes.
While she's doing that, while she's looking it up, 2K.
No, I'm done. And just for the record, tomorrow is my dad's birthday, and that's why. Okay, we're moving on. I'm gonna be good and continue the show and not go down a rabbit hole. So you were gonna do 2K. Is that what you were gonna do?
No, you can do whatever one you want.
WWE late. He's gonna be so mad at me after this. Oh, WWE late night featuring, huh?
We're good. Keep going.
Okay, late night featuring Tony Hinchcliffe will take place at the Bergen Performing Arts Center in Inglewood, New Jersey on Saturday, August 2nd at 11 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be part of SummerSlam weekend, so it's back.
It is back.
So successful in Vegas, they brought it back.
Didn't go so well in Vegas, but it's coming back.
What do you mean it didn't go well in Vegas?
The stories you hear about it, I didn't go, it was a thing. But what's funny is the graphic on .com says 10:30, and then in the press, the writing said 11. So we at least know SummerSlam's over by 10:30, which means we'll be on.
So that's
air,
a bonus.
That's a bonus for us. We'll be live before 10:30.
Hey, let's go! At least for the first night.
Yes.
Second night, we don't know, but at least for the first night, we'll be on the air by 10:30. So hey, so I kind of wonder if it's like doors open at 10:30 and then show starts at 11.
Could be.
Because I can't imagine that, like, if SummerSlam is over at 10:30, that they would start the late night directly after. Like, you have to give people time to get there.
Yeah, and it's probably over at 10, and then you get an hour to get there.
Yeah.
10-ish.
So, but tickets are on sale if, you know, you want to go, so... go buy your tickets. You can go hang out with Tony Hinchcliffe. Could be fun or disastrous, depending on what happens. 2K announced that on July 23rd, 2025 is the official release date for the Nintendo Switch 2 version of 2K25. Pre-order is available now for the Nintendo Switch 2 version, which will support the full set of 2K25 game modes and match types, while also offering the ability to play offline modes on the go and online modes with internet connections. So, you know, if you want to do the thing, get it on Switch 2, go for it.
Yep, $70. Go enjoy WWE. I mean, that's standard now for video games, especially for the Switch. It's something.
But it's so much money. You're talking to the person that doesn't necessarily pay for games. I do microtransactions.
Which is still paying for the game,
but I'm not doing it like every single time. So, you know, there is that.
I mean, yeah.
I don't roll every single character. Thank you. Just the fucked up ones. Cody Rhodes has officially been cast as Guile in the live-action Street Fighter film. I want to see how this works. I will admit, I do not know much about the Street Fighters, okay? I am familiar with it. I remember it from being a kid and it being on the arcade machines, because yes, I am that old. But as I recall, Guile is a very big, blonde, jacked dude.
So you're saying Cody is not a big blonde jack dude?
He doesn't have biceps the size of my head.
CGI works, is what I'm wonders. Saying.
That's where I question, like, are they going to go full? Because, okay, I remember the original Street Fighter movie, and whoever the fuck is taking the Bison role, you have a lot to live up to from Raul Julia. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, like, I remember when the first Street Fighter movie came out and they went like full ham, full camp. Everybody looked like they were supposed to in the video game kind of thing. So is that what this is going to be? They're just going to do the same thing again, but with different people? Or are they going to try to make this like look more realistic?
We'll find out.
Because I feel like this could go two ways. This could go the full ham, like Dungeons and Dragons style. Like, we're just going to lean into the whole thing, or we're going to try to make this serious and like, no, not you phone. We're gonna make this legit, and we're gonna make, you know, everybody look real and beefed up. Like, I just need to know how that's gonna work.
It's what Jason Momoa.
Like, I just really kind of need.
It's Jason Momoa, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. You got your list of people.
Who's Momoa playing?
Chat me now.
Hold on.
Blanca.
Because I saw Blanca.
Apparently.
Really? Yeah. Are you sure? Are we sure? I want to keep my ad blocker. Let me keep my ad blocker, you assholes. Okay, so...
Yeah, he's playing Blanca. 50 Cent is playing Blark or something? Why is 50 Cent in this movie? Balrog, okay.
I don't know, but good for him. I'm proud of him.
So those are Jack dudes, Roman Reigns, Jason Momoa, Cody Rhodes.
Okay, wait. Are you looking at the Deadline article?
Yeah.
Okay, do me a favor and go to Vega.
How far of it down was Vega?
Probably about halfway down, right after 50 Cent.
Okay.
What is that picture on the left?
I don't know.
What is that picture?
I wish I knew. I wish.
Okay, so just so everybody is clear, it is a picture of Orville Peck. He's been announced as playing Vega. And I'm sorry if I said that wrong, but the picture is of him at a premiere or an event or something, and he's all dressed up and looking cute, and he has a rhinestone cowboy hat where the rhinestones are on the underside of the hat, and a flesh-colored half mask. Like, his lower half of his face is exposed, but the upper half is not, and I have questions. Oh, good, Rock has it up. Like, apologies to the people on the non-Twitch archive. But that's the description for you that I can give you right now. Yeah, what is going on with that? I have so many questions about what's going on there. Because I know for a fact that's not Met Gala. So what was that?
Apparently he's known for wearing the mask.
Is that how he got the part?
I don't know. I'm not the casting director.
I'm just asking a legit question. You're like, you know what? We need a dude that's comfortable wearing a mask. Who can we find? Hey, this one wears masks all the time. Let's talk to him. Like, can you imagine if that's how you got it? Like, you were just known for something and they're like, hey, we want to cast you.
Sometimes
But what goes. Is interesting, huh?
That's some size how that goes.
It entirely could be, but yeah, Roman's in this movie, and Cody's in this movie.
And
filming
starts. Mm-hmm. That doesn't tell you who's winning at SummerSlam.
Why? When does filming start?
End of August in Australia.
Oh, well, either Cody's going to be flying back and forth a lot, or Cody's not winning at SummerSlam. Or maybe Cody doesn't make it to SummerSlam and somebody takes him out. Maybe a final boss?
No, he's making it to SummerSlam.
We'll see. We will see. Moving on to AEW. Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett have announced the... Let me do that again. Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett have announced that they are expecting their third child, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, after all her health problems last year, them expecting a child is good news.
So, yay for them. I hope everything goes well and it's smooth and it's easy and they have no problems and everything comes out well. Darby Allin is looking to take a bite out of Shark Week, or rather, will it take a bite out of him? I see what you did there, press person. Good job. Darby experiences an epic close encounter caught Shark Strike Back Thursday, July 24th on Discovery.
He's in Shark Week. So he probably did this first and then went to Mount Everest. So Darby's crazy.
I would hope so.
Darby's crazy.
I'm just happy that he, in theory, made it down the mountain a-okay and he didn't, become unalive on the mountain, because that was a legitimate actual concern.
It was.
So I'm very happy that he is okay and he is safe and he has made it back from Everest, and good for him for doing that and succeeding, because I know that is a huge thing for him. So congratulations to Darby. Ian Riccaboni has re-signed with AEW ROH, so congratulations to him.
Yeah. Congrats.
And with that, I say we take our break for the evening.
Sounds good.
Alrighty, so when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Night of Champions. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free. Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you, always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Talk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RecRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back to talk about Night of Champions, which aired this past Saturday, live from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, where we had some ups, we had some downs, we had some shenanigans, and we saw a couple, or at least one, new champion crowned.
Overall, it was a pretty good show. We got King and the Queen of the Ring, we got a new champion, a surprise, some would say. Solid show.
I found this entertaining. I mean, granted, I didn't walk into this with really high expectations. Like, I think I had decent expectations for what they've done in the past in Saudi, but I wasn't expecting like anything that was like truly outstanding or exceptional. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just I didn't walk into it where like, oh my god, they're gonna do all this wild and crazy shit. No, they're not gonna do that. But I will say that I was pleasantly surprised in some places, because I think the one question that we all had was, with the situation that's kind of going on over there right now, how many people they were going to take, what they were going to do, like all of that I think was a little bit up in the air because nobody really knew what was going on at the time. And so the fact that we did get what we got was, I was completely fine with. Absolutely completely fine with.
It was a good show.
And I mean, they opened hot.
They did.
Like, The crowd was already amped. They were already pumped. They were already loud, which I'm looking forward to them doing, because they're doing Rumble in Saudi.
This coming.
What are they doing it in Saudi next?
This
year?
January. Yeah.
That's going to be insane. That's just going to be absolutely insane.
So the crowd sung Randy's theme. They sung Cody's theme to start the show. It was really, really well done. It was King of the Ring finals between Cody and Randy Orton. They were loud. Really, really. There was a point early on in the match where they just stopped.
I love that they just let it breathe, because the crowd was just singing to them, and they're like, "You know what? We're just gonna enjoy this, right? Like, we're just going to enjoy the moment." And I love that they did that. Like, good on them for recognizing the crowd. Good on them for, you know, letting the crowd have a little bit of fun. Because I mean, the stakes in this were high, but it wasn't like do or die. So it like afforded a little bit of, hey, we're just going to, you know, pause for a minute and we're just going to let this moment happen, which I enjoyed.
Okay. The biggest moment of the match was Randy's indecision. Randy had the choice early on, midway through, close to the end, kind of to go for the punt. And did not.
Which is kind of surprising.
He kind of let his friendship with Cody get in the way of his better judgment. And he did not.
Which is, again, kind of surprising for Randy.
It is kind of surprising for Randy. And it kind of put him into a point where it's like he could have won the match if he pulled the trigger. He would eventually go to that dark place and open and to the exposed turnbuckle, which could cost him in the end because he's the one who got pushed into it and ate a crossroads for Cody to win the King of the Ring, which I thought was fine. I thought they would have done a little bit more with the finish coming off of that. Like, they would have played it up a little bit more, but I understand why they did it the way they did, as we talked about on Sunday. But yeah, it's part of the larger story. We're going to see the evolution of Randy coming out of this. What does he do going forward? And the next time him and Cody are in the ring, and what kind of will happen? I put this in the art group chat, and I think I talked about something, but I don't remember if I did or not, but we'll talk about it here. Randy's costing Cody at SummerSlam. That's my gut.
I think that's what's going to happen, yeah. I get that feeling, because the one thing that they did really, really nicely in this was at the very beginning, they talked about the history between Cody and Randy, and they talked about legacy and what that group was and what they achieved, and then also the falling out. And kind of how legacy was never really ever, like, the issues coming out of that was never really ever properly resolved, if you remember. Like, Cody and Randy just kind of, and Ted to a lesser extent, just kind of moved on after that. Like, the group broke up, they had the breakup feud, and then because, like, very shortly after, I think Cody either became Stardust or he left, I don't remember which. But I think he became Stardust.
He eventually became Stardust. Cost him as far as Cody wins and then we're betrays him, allowing Seth to cash in, or just straight up cost him against Cena. Based on what we talked about earlier, I think it's just costing him against John Cena, because you punt him out for 6 weeks. So you film his movie.
Go ahead.
That's all.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I agree with that. That, like, if Cody is leaving to shoot a movie, but then again, it depends on when they need him to shoot that movie. Like, if they need him in the very beginning, because I can't imagine WWE will allow him to be gone for Mania season. So if he's shooting Street Fighter, then his availability will be, like, post-SummerSlam to the end of the year, probably. And then, like, April through August, I would guess, in the summer.
Well, it's just,
and
it's
that's
just,
when it's, they can have him.
Yeah, it's just August, as fireworks are going off again. We've hit the second half of our show. Pyro is going off. He'll be gone for 6 weeks. He was gone for 6 weeks here before coming back. He'll be gone for another 6 weeks, I would assume, for filming, because I don't think he's going to be there that long. I don't think he has a major role, but you never know. Cena right now, so allowing him to retain when it makes... I mean, here's the thing. I don't think Seth... Hold on. I don't think Seth cashes in on Cena. That's kind of the main thing. I think Cena is going to be your champion until end of December or mid-December.
I can see Seth teasing a cash-in. Like, I could see that, but I think we'll see very much what happened, like, if that occurs, like, what happened at the end of Night of Champions, which we'll get into. But I don't see Seth going for the full cash-in here just because he's too easily thwarted. In terms of Randy doing it, the only reason I could see, like, having it make sense for Randy to cost Cody and allowing Cena to retain is that Randy wants to do it himself. He doesn't want Cody to be the one to take the title away from Cena. Randy wants to be the one that takes the title away from Cena. And that selfishness in Randy that we all know and love comes out. And that pushes issues between Cody and Randy, which then allows them to go off and have their own little feud. Potentially, either that allows Cody to be sent off to go shoot the movie, or closes the end of the year, or sets it up for potentially next year for WrestleMania.
It's gonna be the mid to end of the year feud for Cody. It's probably leading to Survivor Series. To enter the man's, you really think they're gonna have Cena retire as a heel? If you listen to John, the crowd is going to dictate what happens. So if the crowd dictates at the end that he's a babyface, he'll be a babyface. They're going to play to the crowd. Listen to the audience. If they want him to be a babyface, he'll be a babyface. If he be a heel, he'll be a heel.
I think John will be a beloved heel by the end of the year. And what I mean by that is John has successfully and is still successfully beginning to win over the audience as a heel. And instead of booing him, people are beginning to cheer him as a heel, because he's no longer LOL, it's like, it's LOL Cena wins, but it's cool LOL Cena wins, because now he's edgy, right? Now he's calling out people. Now he's dropping curse words. Now, oh my God. Yeah, like a Ric Flair type heel, where he's still a bad guy, but we all cheer for him anyway, because we admire what he's doing, or we enjoy what he's doing, and so we feel that's worthy of recognition. And that's kind of what I feel Cena is trying to achieve. And I'm not entirely convinced that he's not going to get there by the end. I feel like by the end of the year, he will achieve that, because he's already done it. Like, he's already in the process of doing it.
Also, one quick thing, because I want to move on to the next match.
Well, I want to finish talking about this one.
I know. The reason I say Cash is in, Rollins group is not moving to SmackDown.
Mm-mm.
So that's why I'm putting the kibosh on the idea of Seth cashing on Cena, because he's not moving to SmackDown, because they got the bloodline.
Yeah.
So
you keep Seth where he is,
because that's a lot to pull off of Raw. That's the heel group for this year on Raw to carry it. Anyway, continue your point.
Like we were talking about, I liked how they played the history of these two in there, because I think what this allowed them to do was for Cody to maybe be a little bit more nasty in this than he normally would, like normally is in a match. Because normally he's like, I'm babyface Cody Rhodes. I'm going to do everything by the book, right? He's classic babyface, squeaky clean, generally. And this, he was a little bit more dirty. He was a little bit more nasty. He didn't quite go full send on it. But with Randy, I think, and the history that they have with each other, it allowed him to maybe step closer to that line and maybe dip a toe or two over it. And I enjoyed that, because for me personally, I really want to see a feud between Cody and Randy before Randy goes, right?
Well, Randy's not going anywhere.
We don't know that.
No, he is 4 more years at least.
On contract, but we don't know how assuming he can make 4 years. Like, I hope to God he can make it 4 more years, because, you know, health and everything. But like, I want to see a feud between Randy and Cody with both of them like as they are right now.
And that's the feud we're going to get after SummerSlam, after he comes back from the movie.
The draft is coming, so they can switch brands for the titles. I would still leave the bloodline on Raw, just because you have too many people on SmackDown that would have to move to Raw in order to continue the bloodline, or you just
SmackDown has the bloodline. That's why you don't move Rollins group to SmackDown. That's the point.
Right, but you could flip-flop them, essentially.
No, but, I know, I understand about the title switching rants. But I don't, how I'm booking it.
They don't need to, though. Like, why do they need to?
They don't need to. But that's why I don't think Seth and they're going after, when Seth cashes in, it's going to be the world title. That's just my feeling. Anyway, continue on.
Yeah. So that's all I was going to say. Like, I would very much like to see Cody versus Randy. I personally enjoyed this match. I thought it was really good. I liked pretty much everything they did. I hope Cody never wears the tiara again, because all due respect to Cody Rhodes, but he kind of looked like a little bit of a doofus in it. So please, Cody, never, ever, ever put that thing on your head ever again. And yeah, like, I think it was a good showing overall for both of them. The crowd, like we said, was super into them. The match was good. Like, it wasn't as quick as it probably could have been, but you can excuse that, because what we got was still good. So moving on, Raquel Rodriguez taking on Rhea Ripley, who is over as fuck in a street fight.
This is very much a very good street fight. I thought the girls worked really hard. I thought the table spot at the end where they're standing on the table was fucking nuts. I liked Roxanne's involvement. It was a good match. Good fight.
I think for Raquel, this was a really good showing. I kind of agree with Tim that there's something about her, at least in this persona, that is not necessarily working. And I think it's just that she's very generic, right? Like, she's very one note, because she's designed to be like, the character is designed to stand behind Liv Morgan, who's the one who has to have all the personality and has to kind of be the one carrying. So it makes sense why she's like that, and she just hasn't had the time to evolve out of it. But I think I just really haven't liked what she's been doing, like, in the Judgment Day, if that makes sense. Like, she's been a good heavy for Liv and a good partner for Liv, but we all know she's more capable than that. And so I hope that coming out of this, she becomes more capable. The table spot was insane, but it was a little scary, and I do have to call them out for the ref holding the table. Like, don't get me wrong, safety is important, and the fact that the ref steadied the table was good on them, because nobody wants them spilling off and like hurting themselves. But I do question the spot just a little bit if the ref has to hold the table.
To make one other point, Raquel is Kevin Nash Diesel to Liv Morgan being Shawn Michaels. And that's
why I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
So this now has to be Raquel's moment to come out of it, where at first Diesel had nothing. He was just the bodyguard, the heavy. Then he had his breakout moment. This could be Raquel's breakout moment.
I'm very curious to see, because I like what they did in having Roxanne get involved in this, which is kind of what I suggested happened when Liv initially got injured, is you just have Roxanne essentially do to Liv what Liv did to Rhea, right? Where Liv is gone, and so Roxanne takes over Liv's spot and takes over her life. And so when Liv comes back, it's kind of like, oh, hey, you're back. This is all mine now. You can leave. And then that sets up the feud between Liv and Roxanne for later on down the line. Like, I felt, especially for Rhea being involved in this, she was the perfect third for this. And her kind of getting her hands on Roxanne a little bit and being like, welcome to the Judgment Day, and then whooping the shit out of her was really good. I also feel like the spot with the belt made a lot of people's dreams come true. I'm just going to add that. thank you. Thank you, Rhea, very much for that. We all appreciated that. Thank you, Raquel, for taking that. We all appreciate that.
For where Rhea Ripley whipped Raquel with a leather belt right across the ass, just so people are aware of what
actually happened. A belt with holes in it, so you know it hurt. But yeah, like, Thank you, ladies. I salute you for that. Everybody appreciates your efforts. But yeah, I think this was probably the best showing for Raquel that I have seen in a very, very long time. Like, she and Rhea work very well together because they have similar styles, they're similar sizes. So, and they have, you know, just similar strengths. So there's a lot there that they can work with, and they can get each other through. They don't necessarily have to work a very fast paced match. They can move a little bit slower. They can have things have more impact. Like, there were some really sick spots on the outside. And then again, yeah, the Riptide off the table was just insane looking. And Rhea picks up the win over Raquel, which I'm happy Rhea won. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm always happy when she wins. I just don't know, like, if she needed it. Like, if it would have been better if Raquel had won.
Well,
in part thanks to Roxanne.
Yeah, which was what we thought. But with what they're doing at Evolution, it makes more sense why Rhea won.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally makes sense. But, like, it's just, for Raquel, I feel like she just needed it maybe a little bit more, especially with Liv being out and being
gone. And I think that played a part in it, because that changed the plans.
It did. It did. It changed a lot of things. So, hopefully, no blame on Liv at all. Hopefully, you're feeling better and you're recovering from your injury. Up next, we have Sami Zayn taking on Karrion Kross with Scarlett in just a plain old regular singles match. I hadn't realized how long it had been since I'd seen Karrion Kross wrestle.
It's been a hot minute since he's wrestled on main
television. It's been a while.
It's been like 2 years since he's wrestled on a PLE. Or maybe three. I think it was either 22 or 23 at Crown Jewel in Saudi. So it's been a minute since he's been on a PLE singles match. The last one he wrestled was WrestleMania 40 in the six-man tag at WrestleMania a year or so ago here in Philly. I thought he put up a strong performance. Internet was internet with him. Apparently the boys told him, were just telling him to, you know, not take any bumps. just to play to the small segment of the audience who was on Twitter, who was complaining that he doesn't take a bump, but he knew he couldn't do that, so he didn't. So smart on him. And I thought he had a really strong performance. It was the performance he needed. Sami Zayn brought the best out of Karrion Kross, and I thought Sami sold well for him and made him look like $1 million. And Sami's quick huluva kick at the end, when Karrion was just melee, just like beating the crap out of him in the corner, was a really good finish.
It was. It was a very enjoyable finish. And we have Sami defeating Karrion via pinfall. This went a lot longer than I thought it would. Like, it kind of sat in the sweet spot in terms of match length. But I felt this was a really good pairing between the two. Sami and Karrion work amazingly well together. You wouldn't expect any different because they're both, you know, they're both been in wrestling for forever, so they should gel very well together. I've been very vocal in the fact that this is not my favorite feud, and it is still not my favorite feud. Like, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was good. It was nice to see Karrion get back on PLEs, but I kind of hope maybe that we're wrapping it up soon and we're going to move Karrion and Sammy on to someone else. Like, I think we're going one more.
Yeah, we're going
one just more. Based on what happened on Raw. But I would hope after that, that maybe like after Saturday night's main event, that we're like done and they move on.
If they go to, they may, who knows where they go. We'll see.
We will see. And up next, we have the first of two shenanigan fests. Solo Sikoa took on Jacob Fatu for the United States Championship. Everybody and their brother got involved in this in terms of the bloodline. We had a new person show up for the bloodline.
Who the announcers did not know the name of. Everyone knew it's Hikaleu, but they couldn't call him that because that's no longer his name. But the, it's this person. We know him. We know who he is. Then why don't you tell me? Just tell me the name. I know the announcers weren't clued in on what the new name was because they were probably still trying to like, what's the new name? But like, you gotta clue the announcers in on like, hey, so what's his actual name? It's Hikaleo. Now he's going by this.
Yeah, I have to call him out on that. That was a bit awkward and a bit sort of silly. Like, y'all should have like clued in on the name. You should have had it ready so when he comes out they're like, oh my god, it's blank, right? And you immediately introduce him instead of pulling the whole, well, you know who he is. Okay, number one, not everybody's gonna know who he is. If you're into the wrestling scene, yes, but for when he showed up, I was like, who's that? And then Rock and Brent were like, oh, it's Hikaleo. I was like, oh, okay, because I don't follow any wrestling that closely.
Yeah, so
because I just don't have time to. So, like, I think that was a snafu on their part to be like, "Oh, hey, you know who he is? You know who he is." Not everybody's going to know that. So, like, that you should have had the name.
Yeah, and it's Tala Tonga is his official name, which is weird. I understand why they changed the names, and I get it; they do it all the time. But it's weird they had Hikaleo graphics up for when he was doing dark matches for an entrance, and then 2 weeks later it's down. Tala Tonga. And I guess because they didn't want to give away that he was joining the Bloodline, even though everyone knew he was going to be a member of the Bloodline, and eventually, so he is.
It's kind of weird.
He is Haku's son, just for people wondering.
He's a big fucker too. But like, I don't know. I just felt like that was a rare misstep for them because normally they have this stuff ready. Like in terms of the names, it's also really weird because like Jacob Fatu got to keep his name, right? But they maybe could reach like a licensing with him where he could use it or they could use it. Because like for real names, they can't copyright real names, right? They can't like for Jacob Fatu in that case, they can't like copyright that out from under him and then say you can't use it because that's his actual like legal name. So they can't do that to him. But he can like they can work it out where he can use the name, but like he gives them rights to it and da 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 da. Like in the case of AJ Styles, AJ Styles owns his name, right? Like he owns the copyright to AJ Styles, so he licensed that back to WWE and they're allowed to use that for specific things, and then he gets a cut of that probably because he's licensing that back. Same thing goes for probably a few other people in the company that are using indie names that they have or their real names. So the fact that they didn't let Hikaleo keep his was kind of interesting. And I don't know if they just couldn't work it out or like what the deal was.
They want to own the trademarks or be able to own for that time period. So when you can't get the trademark, you're going to change the name. And it's happened for 30, 40, 50 years where wrestlers don't keep the names. Because Johnny
B. I know.
It's like Johnny B. in WCW became Mark Merrow in WWE. It happens all the time. And it's people make more of a bigger deal out of it these days than it used to be, even though it was a thing for decades.
Oh, it was definitely a thing for decades. Like, I'm not shaming them for it at all. It's just, they sort of waffle on it. Where, like, for a while, they're like, no, no, we're not going to use your real name. We're going to give you stupid fake name and then like or screen name, and then they do that for a while, and then they sort of like kind of swing back where they're like, well, we might let you use your real name. Like, you know, we're kind of okay with that. And then they rebound again and they're like, no, no real names. We can't use that because we want to own copyright. So they kind of sort of like ping pong back and forth on that. And then I think it also just depends on the name value as well, because like Natty gets to use her real name because she's a Neidhart and she ties into that whole lineage. So they want the name value of that individual because it's a family name. And maybe that's why Jacob got to keep his, is because it's Fatu.
And they also see him as a big star, so they're going to just, oh, anyway. Maybe it's their brother, they wanted Tonga, and it's like, yeah, that's why they also wanted to be a tag team name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it all makes sense. Like, it all makes just perfect sense. It's just, it's more the snafu that they didn't have the name ready than anything else.
Yeah, it's more that they include the announcers, and they could say it's Tala Tonga, the son of Haku. And you would have.
Yeah, like, that's just a very rare misstep on their part. But in the end, Solo Sikoa picks up the win in a very physical match. Like, the match was very enjoyable. Solo and Jacob worked very well together. Jacob is just a god beast in the ring. He was over with the crowd. Everybody was excited to see him. And Solo and Jacob got very physical with each other. But in the end, through massive, and I mean massive levels of shenanigans, Solo Sikoa picks up the victory and is your new U.S. champion, which I apologize. I maybe accidentally manifested this last week when I asked if Solo could win due to interference. And Rock told me no.
Yes.
Like, the second I saw him win, I was like, I had that right.
You don't have to listen to me. I make good reasonings, but you don't have to listen to me.
The logic was sound. How could I argue with the logic?
I make good logic.
That was the thing.
It makes sense. It doesn't mean it's right.
But it's logic. No, we don't. Tama Tonga should be out for, what, another couple months? He should be on his way back soon, right?
Oh, good question. How are you?
Yeah, I don't know. But for the record, there was much joy to be had amongst Solo's brood as they left. They were all very excited that they won. And rightfully so, because is this Solo's first title?
Yeah, on the main roster, yes.
Singles? Yeah. So good for Solo. Congratulations to him. Moving on, for your Queen of the Ring tournament finale, we have Jade Cargill taking on Asuka for the crown and the opportunity to face Tiffany Stratton at SummerSlam.
I like the match. I don't have the criticism Tim did of Jade Cargill and over, like, criticizing her. Not everything's going to be perfect. I think as a singles competitor, she is improving every time she's in the ring. I think she's made some great strides, and everyone needs to stop being overcritical of her, and because everything is not going to be perfect every single time, because not everyone's ever always been perfect, but because she has limited matches these days, everyone's going to be overcritical of, oh, she didn't do this correctly, or this didn't look as great. It's not always going to look the best with her, but she's getting the job done.
I think, like, I thought she had a really good showing. This is probably one of the best showings of singles that I've seen for her in a long time. I don't think you could put her in the ring with anybody better than Asuka. I really, really don't, because Asuka has the wherewithal and the experience to be able to get them both through to a good match where they're both going to look like $1 million. And that's the thing. Like, I think Jade did well. I think she, like I said, she looked the best that I've seen her in a while. And granted, I have not seen too much of her since she went to SmackDown, but like, from what I remember of her and what I saw in this match, I thought it was perfectly serviceable. It was fine. Was it blow away? Not really. But I wasn't, like I said, I didn't walk into this expecting a blow away match between these two.
But her,
like, I kind of managed my expectations.
But her outfit.
Oh, her outfit was fucking peak. Like, her entrance was peak. They made her entrance snow, and she walked out looking like Storm from like the 90s comics. So good on her for that. I was like, all right, girl, I see you. Good job. Amazing. You own that. Like, the entrance was amazing. Like, both entrances were amazing. And I forgot to say this when we started talking about this, but like, the set was really cool. It was so incredibly simple how they did it, but the divided up screens had a really nice effect on everything. Like, it felt big. It felt important, because the Raw set now is relatively simple and straightforward, or and the SmackDown set as well, because they use the same set. But for like this show in particular, it felt big and impressive because, you know, they're in Saudi, so it needs to feel big and impressive. So I commend them for that. But yeah, I thought the match was good. I thought it was fine. Like, I think the one thing that surprised me was that Jade won, because for me personally, I didn't think she would necessarily be ready to go there to go against Tiffany. Now, they have had good matches in the past, so we'll potentially get something good out of this, but I would have thought that they would have gone for Asuka versus Io. But I'll take Jade versus Tiffany. I have no issues with that whatsoever.
It was a really good match based on what they had on SmackDown right after WrestleMania, so should be good. But Jade,
but yes, congratulations to Jade.
Yeah, she's your queen of the ring.
Also, I think what helped this match, before we move on, was this was the shortest match on the show. This was under 10 minutes, and that also helped it.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
So, moving on to your main event evening, we have John Cena taking on CM Punk in a singles match for the undisputed WWE Championship. Was this a barn burner? Fuck no. Absolutely not.
No.
This is good? Yeah. I thought it was good.
They hit everything they needed to hit. I even included from the entrance where CM Punk came down with, he didn't have the old shirt, but he had a jacket with the Chicago flag thing. It was the flag set up on it. He sat in the middle ring like he did back at Money in the Bank 14 years ago. They repeated all of that. And they played their hits. They took their time. It was not fast-paced, but it didn't need to be fast-paced. Cena came out to work. This was Cena's best performance in terms of a longer match since he's returned.
Mm-hmm.
Even I think this was better than the Randy match, which was pretty good. But you could tell he's very comfortable with Punk, and they have really good chemistry. The match was going well, and you're getting to the finish, and then you had the ref bump, and then you brought out Seth Rollins when Punk's calling for a ref. And then there was so Seth came out, Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed came out, they did their old bit. You had Penta and Sammy come out, make saves. And then there's the Charles Robinson spot.
Okay. I'm gonna agree with everybody on WTR. MVP of the night goes to Charles Robinson. It really does. Not only for doing the run down the ramp and pretty much duplicating what he did at Mania for the Seth cash-in, but also the shot from Cena as he's running down. I think the way they shot that looked absolutely vicious.
It did.
It's like, he's up. Oh, he's not up anymore.
He is now a signed trading card for that moment.
He deserves it. I saw him running down and I'm like, oh, it's little Nate. Go, Charles, go. And you know what? It worked. It worked exactly because I was watching him do it. And I was like, wow, it's just like Seth's cash in. Like, it just, your brain automatically went to that moment because of how well, like, done and how simply done it was. It wasn't like overproduced. It wasn't anything, right? They need a ref. They're calling a ref. Here comes Charles Robinson. And Cena's like, we are not having this.
We're not having it. We're going to take a listen now to Raw Recap and how it all went down.
WrestleMania 24, it was a pin cover, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Undertaker. So I'm running as hard as I can. Well, this is a cash in. So I'm running about 80%. I'm not giving it my all.
That's your 80?
I mean, he's talking about your all-time pat on the back.
I'm trying to hold back. Okay? It's a funny stride. I'm trying to hold back a little bit. Thank God, because if I'd been going 100%, the collision would have been much worse. But I'm running down the ramp, and I see movement out of my eye. I thought it was Stu, the camera guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then I divert back straight. All of a sudden, bam.
You're airborne.
I'm airborne. And, and they tell me that John Cena hit. Well, is that who hit me?
Yeah, that is.
80%. He was giving it 80%. Okay.
I love him so much. Like, good for him. Good on you, Charles. Good on you. We all love Charles. So I sincerely hope one day that they do put Charles Robinson in the Hall of Fame just for his contributions to this business, because they haven't always been loud, but they've been consistent. And Charles is just awesome.
Yeah. He is awesome. There was a moment I thought, this is your babyface John Cena, and then they're like, yeah, we're together, and they hug, and then Cena does the constipated face look.
The fucking stare. It was so awkward, y'all.
He does the Cena face.
Oh my god, it was so awkward. It was the same, yeah, it was the same exact one he did when he turned heel with The Rock, where he's just like hugging Punk, and then he's awkwardly staring into the camera, and it's like, oh no, something bad's gonna happen.
And then John Cena retains the WWE Championship.
Like, here's the thing with this match. I think Punk and Cena understood that physically it was not going to necessarily be where they wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And so they both agreed that they were just going to lean into the nostalgia of it. Because also, too, I think they understood that that's what the fans really wanted. Is that for all of us that were there the first time for the Summer of Punk and that feud between John Cena and CM Punk, they understood that we all wanted them to lean into that really, really, really hard, especially since this is potentially the last time the two are ever going to face each other in a WWE ring. Cena is retiring, and so we may never get this opportunity again. And I applaud and appreciate them for giving their all in this and leaning into that nostalgia really, really hard, not only in the match, but through the whole feud and the fact that they brought up the past and they were very cognizant about doing that the whole time. So bravo to both of them for it, because this has been an absolute pleasure to watch. And the match culminated in a very, very, very good result, especially with Seth coming out, trying to cash in on Cena. And Cena's just wily enough that he got away from Seth. And Seth was not happy about that. But Cena's maybe just a tad bit smarter than Seth. We'll have to see. But overall, I thought this was a really good show. I thought it was very enjoyable.
Very enjoyable Night of Champions.
So that does it for us, doesn't it?
All right, chat. That does it for the Rack Live. We're here on Wild Talk Radio Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We're gonna do CB Radio. We're gonna do Chat GPT says with Subway because he missed it last week. He fell asleep early. Was his reasoning? He missed it, so we're gonna do that. And Brent's gonna do the Excalibur Challenge this Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern for AEW All In. Sunday night, WTR Sunday Night Talk Radio. They're gonna preview Saturday night's main event and give quick picks for Evolution. Monday night's Raw Potion. Whenever Raw ends, we'll be live to talk all about it. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview Evolution and give our quick picks on Saturday night's main event. So that's the plan. Also, programming note, a week from Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, that will be an all-in, AEW all-in recap show with myself and Brent. That's the deal with content going forward. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking that purple button that's not so rectangular anymore below the screen. You can use creator code Rock and Sock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite app shop for Epic Games Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LANSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SummaLinzWard, or you can follow me on TikTok at LinzWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/NBG1211. Like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi, because Matt does amazing content. So for Rock, I'm Linzy Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye! Damn, my dear, no one's getting out of you alive this time. What a way to go, but have no fear. No one's getting out of you alive. WildTalkRadio.com.